Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Part 3 of Spiritual Cancer, Self-Righteousness. By way of a brief review, we see that every person has a degree of Pharisee in them. Self-righteousness, a holier-than-thou attitude, we all tend to it. The idea that we don't think we do supports the whole idea that we do. We've looked at, in this study, the emphasis is on the sins that we so easily excuse. A big part of this study is not so much for the new believer, but rather for the believer that's down the road. A reminder that, yes, maybe in our days gone by, we have given up and we can list the sins and the things that we've changed. But are we working on those sins? Gossip, bad attitude, doubt, worry. Do we realize these sins also must be worked on? In the Bible college and in Christian school, we didn't give demerits for worry, but it's a sin. We need to really check that in our lives. We see sin in others, but sometimes we just don't see the obvious in our own lives. That was a Pharisee. We see that Jesus warned the people of the Pharisees. They could see the faults in others. They would put heavy spiritual burdens on other people that they would not dare take upon themselves. And he warned the people about these Pharisee hypocrites. We saw Peter was one that was very self-righteous. We went on to part 2, doesn't anyone sin anymore? Our nation, many churches have watered down sin, have redefined it so that no one sins anymore. Oh, we talk about sin in general. Amen. But don't name anything. Our society has now gotten to the point things are tolerated that they would have never tolerated 100 years ago. You wouldn't even think about talking about some of these things. Now it's on mainline TV. Our society has really dumbed down the concept of sin. We saw what is the essence of all sin. There's a trinity of sin. The bottom leg of the triangle is unbelief. It's the foundation of all sin. You come up the one side, you then have pride. And down the other side, you have selfishness. And that is the trinity of sin. All sin is based upon that trinity. I don't care what God says about, I don't believe him, there's unbelief, about drunkenness. Pride, I want it, I'm going to have it. Selfishness, I don't care who it hurts. All sin is based upon that trinity. And that trinity is what makes people self-righteous. That is the essence of the Pharisee, hypocrite. Do we ignore gossip, pride, envy, bitterness, lust, worry, lack of fruit of the Spirit? But we don't smoke, we don't carouse, we don't drink, we don't take drugs, but we gossip. God is not pleased. Sin is sin and it must not be tolerated. This is the essence of this study. Tonight, part 3, we're going to take a look at an outward show only. An outward show only. See, Christianity is not to be outward compliance. God wants the inward man because when the inward man is in order, it manifests itself on the outside. We're going to take a look tonight at Mark chapter 11. Israel, obviously God's chosen people, picked to be the light of the world, got so lost in self-righteousness, ritualism, the whole idea that we're descendants of Father Abraham. Does not that qualify me for eternal life? No. Oh, they were self-righteous. They were so self-righteous when Messiah came, they missed him. He was among them with a public ministry for approximately 3 years, and they were so self-righteous, they cried, "Crucify him." Heavily influenced by the Pharisee, hypocrite, priests, stirred up the people. Crucify him! Yet this is the very one that was pictured in all of their feasts. All of the furniture symbolized Messiah. The sacrifices. If we were to study these, and I hope that God gives us the time we can get to these, you study all of this, it was symbolic, picturing the one to come. And they missed him. They missed him. This study tonight is broken up. You're going to see three different days. Let us read Mark 11:1. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered in, you shall find a colt tied, whereupon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. If any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye unto that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway send him thither. They went their way, found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, Why do ye? What do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto him, Even as Jesus has commanded, and they let them go. They brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon them. And many spread their garments on the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they followed cried, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about all things, and now the eventide was come, and he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And so it is on this first day that we're looking at here, Jesus Christ has the disciples fetch this colt. They prepare it, and he rides this in, and he gets what we have called the triumphal entry. The Jews have lined the streets, Hosanna, Hosanna! Paving the way with garments and the branches off of trees. The Messiah comes riding in on the colt. It then says that Jesus went into the temple. He looked around upon all things. And the eventide was come. And he went back to Bethany. So he comes into the city with this incredible welcome. He looks around the temple and he leaves. Well, it was normal in those days, even if we go back to 2 Kings, just make a reference to that. 2 Kings 9 tells us that they would take these garments. And this was a normal thing for Jews to do as they would welcome somebody. Hosanna, save now! It's coming from Psalm 118, 25. Save now! Crying out words of the Psalms as they welcome Jesus Christ. Triumphal entry, we call it, coming into Jerusalem. But you know what? Jesus Christ knew that they were not welcoming him for spiritual reasons. He knew their hearts. Because he knew in just a few short days that same crowd was going to cry, Crucify him. He knew their hearts were not with him. And so it is that he comes into this incredible welcome, crying out with a show of, Oh God, how we want you and how we welcome you. Unless you don't do what we want, and then we're going to crucify you. And it was a show only of righteousness. The 12 obviously witnessed this. They saw the Jews with this, shall we say, warm reception, and Jesus Christ coming in. And then he takes the 12. Let us take a look at it. Verse 11, And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, and he went out unto Bethany with the 12. They were with him. They saw this entry, and they came with him and inspected the temple. And they stayed with him, and they went back. And now it was eventide. And so it is. We now look to the second day. Mark 11:12. And on the morrow, the next day, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. They saw the triumphal entry. They saw the inspection of the temple. And now they see this curse placed upon this fig tree. This condemning of the fig tree was symbolic. He's teaching his disciples a lesson in all of this. In spite of Israel's many privileges and responsibility, they were like that fig tree. They had a show only. From afar off, Jesus Christ was on that donkey and he could see the crowd. And as he was coming, the cheers, he could hear them louder and louder. Hosanna, Hosanna! And oh, did they look holy and righteous. But he went in and inspected the temple. He wanted to see what their spirituality was really all about. He knew. He didn't have to go in to check the temple. He already knew. Why did he do it? For the 12. Why did he have to go up to that fig tree? He knew there was no fruit there. He was God. Why did he do it? For the 12. He was teaching them. This fig tree was a perfect illustration to help the disciples see the spiritual condition of Israel. And so it is that it says, for the times of figs was not yet. It would seem that Jesus Christ is being unfair to this poor fig tree. For the time of figs was not yet. But Jesus is making a point. Israel is like that fig tree. When are God's people supposed to be fruitful? All the time. All the time. They're not supposed to be like a fig tree, only having a show, and only being fruitful whenever they feel like choosing to be fruitful. Oh, they were choosing, Hosanna, Hosanna! Right? What did Jesus Christ see? All these leaves. What did he see when he came to the crowd as they were marching down the street? Branches. Human leaves, if you will. Oh, they had a show of fruit. Hosanna! No. He went in and looked at the temple. And you know what he saw? Money changers and a den of thieves. He was teaching the disciples the true spiritual condition of Israel. They were a bunch of hypocrites. An outward show of spirituality. The people that should have known better. But they were entertaining self-righteousness. Instead of exercising true spirituality, they were a bunch of liars. Jesus Christ is making the point, this fig tree pictures Israel. It has a show, just like they waved branches and threw them down. This thing has leaves on branches and there's nothing there. Surely Jesus Christ knew the condition of both the fig tree and the temple, but he was making the points to the disciples. God's going to check all of us. And he knows where we stand spiritually. The time is now for God's people. They had Messiah among them for 3 years, and they still didn't recognize him. And so it is that Jesus condemns the fig tree. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Now put that together. He cursed this fig tree. Put it together with Mark 11:15. And they come to Jerusalem and went into the temple. He inspected the temple the evening before and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple. Just like he had cursed the fig tree. And overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? That's what God intended for the Jews to display before the world. But ye've made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, there's the end of the second day, he went out of the city. He cleansed the temple in John chapter 2, but its results were only temporary. He had to come back and do it again. The chief priests, Pharisees, hypocrites did not make sure that God's temple was indeed a house of worship. Could they justify, oh, we've got to be money changers here? I mean, these poor people travel, and they're going to have some kind of a sacrifice. And they just traveled such a long distance. God knows that. And there is a degree of truth to what they say. They would have to secure some kind of a sacrifice, but not to the point of making God's house a place of money changers and a den of thieves. You know what a den of thieves is? It's a place that thieves go to find safety. Think about that one. They ran to the temple as a cover of safety. See how righteous we are? We're in the temple. We're the priests. God knew their true spiritual condition. They were a bunch of Pharisee hypocrites, godless men. Jesus Christ quotes two references there when he talks to them. He says, and I didn't give you a reference, make a note of it, Isaiah 56:7, my house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. And in Jeremiah 7:11, he says, is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Jesus Christ quotes Isaiah and Jeremiah as he is cleansing and purging the temple. I don't want an outward show. I want true spirituality. The Jews are not abiding by the scriptures. They're a bunch of hypocrites. Day 3, Mark 11:20, and in the morning. So Mark is pretty clear. We had evening, morrow, evening, and now here we are in the morning. Mark 11:20, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Very good, Peter. The object lesson is working. You're getting it. This is exactly what he wanted to do, was get this lesson taught. If you were to go back in the Old Testament, you would see several times where Israel is indeed compared to a fig tree. Jeremiah 8:13, Hosea 9:10, and Nahum 3:12. Those are three references in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 8:13, Hosea 9:10, and Nahum 3:12. Where Israel is compared to a fig tree, hence making this all the more relevant. Israel is this fig tree. It had a show of righteousness, but no fruit. It was dried up from the roots. This is what John the Baptist said back in Matthew chapter 3 when he started preaching. He said, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. As he was rebuking the Jews for their incredible lack of spirituality. And now as he points out, and Peter notices this withered up fig tree, it seems like the next words are incredibly out of place. Let us read. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Does that not seem weird? Hey, look, the tree is all withered up. And Jesus answered saying unto them, have faith in God. What's he saying? Peter, disciples, did you see the outward show as I came in on the colt? They waved the branches, they spread the garments, they put the branches on the road. Hosanna! Do you see it? But do you remember when we inspected the temple that night? We saw where the money changers' tables were. Do you see it's outward compliance only? It's not an inward conviction. Do you not see that the fig tree, it had a show of produce, but the truth is it was barren? And he says, Peter, 12, let me tell you what real spirituality is. Have faith in God. Let me tell you what real faith is. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe. Come on, disciples, let's be real spiritual. Believe in God, pray, and expect him to answer. But pray according to his will. There's much here we could go into. But he's talking, the first and foundational thing is have faith in God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Don't be with this outward show where the Jews are spiritually bankrupt. He then goes on to verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. Disciples, this is real spirituality. Not the outward show of Hosanna and branches. Have faith in God and forgive people. He gives two major truths for true spirituality. And he uses this opportunity of this fig tree to teach. It's interesting too, the fig tree picturing Israel withered. Get the timing. This is only a few days before the crucifixion. The night before the crucifixion, Jesus Christ takes the disciples into what we call the upper room. And in John 14, 15, and 16, he's going to talk to them in very veiled terms. And he tells them in veiled terms, I'm going away, a Holy Spirit is coming. Now, we have the corrective lens of time. We can look back and understand more fully what he was saying. He said, the Jewish system's going to wither because they were empty. They had no fruit. That's why that tree withered. And it's a picture of Israel we see three times in the Old Testament. We see Jesus Christ picturing it here. Because of their lack of fruit, God is going to put the Jewish system on hold. And we have the lens of time now. For approximately 1900 to 2000 years, the Jew has been on hold, scattered throughout the earth. Now they're being brought back. God said in the last days they would come back. Because they only had a show. They actually had Messiah stand in the midst of them, and they missed him. Disciples, do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus said. And so it is that he says, have faith in God, forgive others. This is true spirituality, not what you've seen with the Jews. Not what you've seen with the Jews. Let us consider now some lessons here. God is expecting fruit. God wants all believers. He wants his people to be fruitful. Are all believers fruitful? No. And we have the classic illustration here. Jerusalem failed miserably. He doesn't want us to have a temple that's a disaster. What's the temple today? Our bodies. The believer's body is the temple of God. He does not want to find it a den of thieves. He doesn't want to find it corrupted. He wants it to be pure, have faith, be forgiving. The fig tree was a disappointment, just as Israel was an incredible disappointment. This idea of Israel being put aside takes them all the way back to Deuteronomy 28 under Moses. Before they went into the promised land, he was sitting there by Mount Nebo with the children of Israel. And he's going over the blessings and cursings. And in essence, he says, if you do what God says, he'll bless you. And he says, but if you don't, he will scatter you throughout the nations. We've seen that. He said, I will scatter you. And that nation withered. And it was put aside for a time. And God went to the Gentile, the church, where we are today. I want to talk just a little bit about this. This idea that the Jew is going to be scattered, withered, put away. What was the promise in the Old Testament? We see it in Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That's Jesus Christ, born as a baby. That happened in Bethlehem approximately 2,000 years ago. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. That hasn't happened. There is a church age gap between the word given and. That's why they couldn't see it. They could not see this gap of a church age. Well, of course we're the Jewish people, and Messiah is going to come, and Messiah is going to put us up, and the kingdom. Messiah said, no, you're not worthy. You're going to be scattered, like Moses told you back in Deuteronomy 28. You've forgotten that, and you didn't know that God had a mystery that was called the church. You're going to wither. like that fig tree. I want you to take notice in something in Isaiah chapter 61. I want you to see something interesting here. It says in verse 2, Isaiah 61:2, I'm starting in the middle of a sentence, but you'll see where I'm going with this. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. All right, now just keep a note of that. I want you now to go to the story in Luke chapter 4 as we think about Israel being dried up. Luke 4:17, and there was delivered unto him, Jesus, in his early ministry, the book of the prophet Esaias, or Isaiah. And when he, Jesus, opened the book, Isaiah, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's Isaiah 61:1. I read to you verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the deliverance to the captives, and recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Here it is, 19. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Please go back to Isaiah 61:2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Please go back to Luke 4:19. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord, he closed the book. There's a gap, the church age. Because if he would have kept reading, go back to Isaiah 61:2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance. That hasn't come yet. That's when he comes back and rules with the iron rod. Isn't it amazing, Messiah, when he took that book among those Jews and he said, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, you're going to wither as a nation. And that's not going to be fulfilled for a long time. See, but it was a mystery. Nobody understood the church age. That's why the disciples in Acts chapter 1 stood on the Mount of Olives and said, aren't you going to start the kingdom now? He said, it's not for you to know. They could not see that because of their great sin, they missed out on incredible blessings. They had an outward show of righteousness only. They were a bunch of hypocrites. Hosanna! Crucify him! Jesus knew it. And he had to take and teach through the disciples, see this fig tree? Just like Israel, it's got an incredible show. Look at all the wonderful leaves. But there was nothing there. My people are to be fruitful all the time. But like this fig tree, they're an outward show only. And it cost them dearly. Folks, as Christians, let's not have an outward show only.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.